Let's magnify the Lord together. Come on, let's lift him up. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, worship the Lord tonight. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him praise. Worthy. Thank him for the year. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his grace tonight. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We honor you today. We praise you today. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy. Come on, let's do it right now. Let's praise him. We're going to take a few moments tonight and really praise the Lord. Come on, we're going to push on like we do on Monday night prayer. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to praise him tonight till the glory comes down. He's worthy of the glory tonight. Oh, come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Come on, shout unto God tonight with a voice of triumph. Come on, we're the head, not the tail. We're the top, not the bottom. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Come on, we're blessed when we come and when we go. In the name of Jesus, give him the glory, do his name tonight. Come on, give him the glory, do his name tonight. Oh, come on, just give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Come on, let everything that hath breath. For the next 30 seconds, just give him the best you got tonight. Come on, we are victorious tonight. We are victorious tonight. In Jesus' name. I feel something breaking in the house tonight. I feel it moving in the spirit tonight. Oh, pray the glory down. Praise the glory down. Come on, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you today. One more time, clap your hands all over this house. Come on, do it like you mean it tonight. Do it with victory. Do it with thanksgiving. Do it with honor tonight. Do it with exceeding great joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want our ushers to prepare to receive the Sunday night tithe and offering. I know this is unusual, but guess what? This is an unusual church. Praise God. And let this be a call. Let this be a call to someone to learn the piano. I'm not reproving or rebuking, but I am saying it is embarrassing that we've been here 10 years and we have one piano player. It is a shame, in fact, that we have been here 10 years and we have one piano player. Someone needs to step up. I will pay for the lessons myself, but if you're going to take the lessons, play for church. Amen. This is not a small church. I know there's a lot of folks missing tonight, but we're in this situation because we need other people to step up. Another pastor called me and said, hey, can we have Carson come play for our conference? Man, our piano player plays every service, and he just, you know, he's wore out. And I thought, well, guess what? He's been playing every service and leading every song for 10 years, and he's working. So I guess you guys are going to have to step it up. And he plays for our conference. And so that's a plea tonight. A little bit of poke. If you got enough sense, if you rebuke a wise person, they get wiser. If you rebuke a fool, they get mad. So if you get mad tonight, that just tells us what you are. Praise God. We don't want anybody to get mad tonight. But don't forget your daily prayer, Bible reading, your weekly fasting. We are not able to do our week of prayer and fasting this year. We're trying to build a church. If you're not happy with the direction the church is going and the things that are going on in the church, we are building a building. And guess what? In the process of this, we're building the church, and we're building a church of tough apostolics with backbone who can handle whatever comes their way and not be swayed by every wind of doctrine or by every plea of anybody else that might say it's better going on over here. We are building a church and we're thankful for it. But let's pray every day. Let's read our Bibles. Let's witness. Let's he that winneth souls is wise. Let's be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Let's stand together, pray for the offering. Let's pray for all those that are sick among us. I know of some that are sick. I think some were afraid to come. Praise God. My dad is in the ICU. He is not on a ventilator. He said absolutely not. But he's doing much better. Hopefully they're going to have him out of the ICU today or early tomorrow. David and Amelia are sick. And then Kondra's sick. And I'm just going to say everybody else is sick. If they're not here because they're not sick, they're still sick. Praise God. No, I'm just playing. They're good folks. But let's pray for the offering. Let's pray for those that are sick among us tonight. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, right now to bless all those that are sick, all those that are fighting colds, all those, dear God, that are under the weather. We ask you to bless them, to help them, to heal them tonight. By your spirit and by your stripes, we are healed. I ask you, Lord, that you would touch the offering, that you would bless the gift and the giver tonight. We'll be quick to give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last service of the year, so if you need to get caught up on your tithe and offering tonight to do it, if you really are behind, we'll give you till Wednesday. But you got to bring it to our house. Praise God, because that's where the church office is. Amen. Let's just stand and wait for the ushers to come and just play an air song in your head or something tonight. I never heard this church so quiet. Praise God. I almost should pull up Spotify and find some IBC song or something. Do an old school home missions. Do you girls feel convicted about not playing the piano? I hope you feel it in my spirit tonight. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get another piano on the platform. And some of you will be on the platform learning how to play the piano during church in the new building. No excuses. Carson didn't know anything, still doesn't know much, but he didn't know anything when he got on the piano up there in Canada. He was 12 years old looking over. Sometimes he just stopped. Sometimes his hands just sat there, but he learned. And God's blessed him, and we're blessed to have him. If you don't like Carson, sometimes I'm with you. Is that right, Sister Pa? That's right. But I'm going to tell you something. You find out how valuable he is in nights like this. Can somebody say amen? God bless you. You can be seated. Now we have these Bible reading programs. Now I say program. That does not mean that it is an app. This is just a program, meaning this is where you can start. This is what you need to do for the month of January. And this is the way you can read your Bible through in 1 year. If you need some sort of plan, this is the plan. They're free. Actually, I'm going to charge you what they charge for the Bible is $119. That'll buy, if we sell all these tonight, that will buy all of our chairs. No. Let me just throw this out. This is not, we don't have a song service tonight, so I got some free time. We just spent $21,000 on chairs. We have one green chair coming, and that's Brother Myers. No, they're all gray. And I'm going to say this about those. We're going to really, really, really restrict what comes in the sanctuary as far as snacks. We're going to have brand new carpet that's going to cost us over $30,000 for the carpet. You say, why are you throwing these numbers out? We need to understand it's not cheap to build this, and we got to take care of it. We don't want the carpet to be stained. We don't want the seats to be stained. We don't want them to be torn and ripped. I mean, we're going to be used. We're going to run the aisles. We're going to scuff up the walls probably, but we're going to take care of it. We just spent, in next month, we'll have spent, what's the math of 12 times 21, Brother Lloyd? Fast at math. 26. No, I didn't say it was good. I just said it was fast. Whatever 12 times 21 is, we've just spent that thousands to rent this building for the last year. Gone. There's no chairs to come with it. There's no carpet to say, yes, we did. We have this left over. All we have from that $20,000+ is four baptisms, people being delivered, people getting the Holy Ghost, a church getting stronger, a church going through trials and coming out victorious. I say it's money well spent. We may have only been able to gather two times a week, but thank God for the times we were able to gather in the house of God. Thank God for a church that was willing to loan us their building. I say thank God for it. Amen, amen. And none of this has been cheap. Even the stuff that's been free, like the labor, has come at a cost. All these men after work, they don't go home and eat dinner. They don't go home and see their families. They come straight from work. They come straight to the church. Sometimes their wives will bring them out something. Sometimes they wait till it's all over. It's come as a sacrifice of not seeing our families. It's come as a sacrifice of not getting enough rest and sleep, and projects at home get put on hold. But we're building a church. We are doing something that I don't think anyone has done in this valley in at least a decade and possibly longer. I'm not saying people haven't bought buildings. I'm not saying people haven't done things, but they haven't built from the ground up. They haven't had to tear down just to build back up. And when I think about where we are, and people, preachers ask me, they call for updates, they ask for text, they ask for pictures, and I show them the pictures of the barn and the pictures of the building now, like, wow, I can't, what a year. I said, a year? It hadn't been a year yet. Our first wall went up October 4th. To think about where we are on this building program, and the amount of time that we've done, the amount of time in the week that we've spent on it, and the amount of men that we've had work, it is amazing. It is a miracle that we are where we are. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the men and the families that have sacrificed to get us where we are. And so I want to give them honor tonight. So thank you to all the men. If you have not seen their new fancy sweatshirts, the Cornerstone Construction team has brand new Carhartt hoodies, rain defenders, and they all match, and we may do hats. If we build the building before Easter, I'll buy y'all a hat. Praise God. Say, I survived Cornerstone building team, building program or something. Anyway, I want to read something that I saw the other day and before I preach tonight. And I don't plan on taking more than 3 hours tonight, so it shouldn't be that bad. I read this just the other day. After a certain age, you are no longer a product of your environment or how you were raised. It becomes a personal choice to live the way you do. At some point, blaming your past becomes a distraction from your future. Healing is your responsibility. Growth is your decision. You either take ownership of your life or become a prisoner to excuses. Truth is, no one else is coming. Jesus has already come and give you the Holy Ghost. That's all anybody here is ever going to get to help us through. Preaching, teaching, coming to church, that's all there. But we got to make the choice to be here. Teaching cannot help you if you don't show up for church. Preaching cannot help you if you don't show up for church. It is on you to become the person you were never shown how to be. I look at the miracle of my father, and I know that we've heard this all before, and he's here, he's living for God, but the fact still remains. Of all the decisions I made in living for God, he was not a part of them. He didn't want anything to do with the church. He didn't want anything to do with the preacher. He didn't want a preacher in his life. The fact that he did not want a preacher in his life, and now he has me, his son, as his pastor, and the way that he desires that, and says, tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I missed. Tell me how to be saved. That's just the way God operates. But he's got to make that choice, and I had to make that choice. I cannot blame my environment. I cannot blame my past. I cannot blame how I was raised or how I wasn't raised. Because if you do that, all you become is an excuse. All you do is allow excuses to ruin your life. So let's stand tonight. I want to read some scriptures here. I want to preach a little bit. And I know it's a little different, but now this is the church. This is the preaching time. All right? We got all the pieces we need for this part. All right? So you didn't get to sing. You've been kind of quiet since we praised. So now it's time to find your vocal cords. If you got a cold, remember this. It's more blessed to give than receive. So give it to somebody else. Don't receive it yourself. Praise God. I remember when we used to not be afraid of getting a cold. No amens on that one. Now everybody's paranoid of someone. Oh, they said my dad was diagnosed with influenza A. You know what that is? The flu. He's not in the hospital because of the flu. He's in the hospital because he got pneumonia. And his oxygen was at 81. And his blood pressure was 85 over like 22. It was insane. It's a miracle he's even with us right now. But he called me and said, I'm calling an ambulance. I said, well, I'm coming over, but call an ambulance because I don't think we can get you in the hospital as fast as they can. So call the pastor if you need to, but call an ambulance. Jesus, dial 911. Praise God, I'll be praying for you. I'm not a paramedic. And I thought to myself, how am I going to get him in my wife's car and get him to the hospital? Call 5 firemen. Took care of that for us, praise God. And so he's doing better today. He's in the hospital, but he's doing better. He said, you know, the food's not bad. I thought about this today. Hospital food. Anybody ever had hospital food? Just raise your hand if you had hospital food. Besides Mallory, she probably eats it every day for lunch. Hospital food's not what you want. But if I was in the hospital, I'd rather be able to eat it than be so out of it and so messed up that I couldn't. You ever been on a long flight, 14, 15-hour flight, and they complain about airplane food? It's better than not having anything. Well, hey, sometimes we only get 2 services a week, but it's better than not having anything. And sometimes the preacher may not be what you wanted to hear, but it's what you needed to hear. And it's better than not having anything. Thank God for a preacher. Thank God for a church. Thank God for a man of God that would come and preach you the truth. How many want to be saved tonight? How many want to be saved? Preacher, preach to me. Preacher, preach to me. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible tells us this in Acts chapter 2. We'll just go ahead and read 36 through 46, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles. Let me just throw this out. When you're hearing preaching and you get a twinge of offense, or a twinge of, I don't like that, the Bible calls that being pricked in your heart. If the preacher cannot step on your toes, he can't preach to you. If the preacher cannot preach things that you don't like, you can't be saved. Well, I got quiet. My job is to get you to heaven. Telling you what you want to hear is not going to get you there. So every once in a while, let the house of Israel know assuredly what you did, whom you crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we fix this? Peter said, repent. Peter did not say, then Peter said. The first word that he said was repent. He didn't say, now you're not going to like this. You may get offended at this. He just told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, your children, all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, there's the key, they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the church, unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them all to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I want to draw your attention to verse number 46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now, I'm not going to give you my title just yet, but I am going to draw back to Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, where he said, choose you this day. Choose you this day. There are some choices that have to be made every day. There are some decisions that we've got to make up in our mind every day. Let's lift our hands all over this house and let's give God praise. Come on, one more time, let's worship him. Worthy, 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 worthy. God, I glorify you today, Jesus. God, I praise you today, Savior. I love you today, my King. Come on, it's an everyday walk with God. Come on, it's an everyday walk with God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands one more time. Come on, let the devil know you're in church tonight. Let the heavens know you're in church tonight. I come to give him praise. I come to magnify him. I come to lift him up. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It's in the day today. I looking at the building, this is something that we can all wrap our minds around. When I walked in, when Sister Bray and I walked in to the barn out there on Eustick in Middleton, it was full of debris. It was full of construction material from the apartment complex, and the task looked overwhelming. The task looked like there's no way this could become a church, but I saw in my mind's eye, what it is today. I literally saw this. I thought, this is the plan. This is what we can do with it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know what can happen. And so we didn't just take on that whole thing at one time. It was piece by piece. It was day by, how did we get from where we were when we bought the property and we were doing the dedication and we were doing all the things and we were doing the groundbreaking? How did we get where we are today? I know this is simple, but sometimes we miss this. It was just one day at a time. We're going to make a plan. We're going to execute that plan, and we're going to make sure that on this day we do this, and on this day we do this, and every day we had to get together and put our minds together and say, this is the task for today. Did you know the Bible tells us about the day's requirements? There are some things that are required in every day. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 4 said they gathered a certain rate every day that I may prove them. I want them to go out and do what they're supposed to do every day so I can prove them. I want to know they're going to do what I ask them to do, not just on the special events, but every day. The Bible goes on to tell us in 1 Chronicles 16 and 37, so he left there before the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord, Asaph, and his brethren to minister before the Ark continually as every day's work requires. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 8:14, as the duty of every day requires. Ezra 3 and 4 offered the daily burnt offering by number according to the custom or the habit as the duty of every day requires. If you don't think there's requirements in every day, don't show up for work. If you don't think there's requirements for every day, don't call your boss if you got other plans, or don't pay your bills. There are things that are required of us every day. We're stepping into a time where there's resolutions being made. And we got this thought process in our mind that by the end of, 6 months, I'm going to be down to this, or I'm going to look like this, or I'm going to save this, or... You know why those resolutions are broken so easy? Because people look at them in weeks and months and years. The only way to truly get a resolution and keep to it is if you don't do a New Year's resolution, but you do a New Day resolution. That's what I'm going to preach today. That's the title of my message. Is we need to go into 2026 with a New Day resolution. We need to go into 2026 and say, you know what? I messed up yesterday, but if I can get through today, if I can do what today requires, if somehow I can get a hold of today, because it's not every year, sweet Jesus. It's one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking. That's the only way I can get through this life is one day at a time. I got to just go one step, one moment, one day. I need the strength every day to make it through. Because the Bible tells us that Joseph fell. He did not fall. He did not fail because he had a goal of a year. He had no idea how it was going to turn out. But his temptation was day by day. The Bible tells us that she spake to Joseph day by day. He had to make up in his mind every morning. If Potiphar's wife comes to me today, it's still no. Oh, can I tell somebody, if a temptation comes to you, you don't tell it no for a year, you tell it no today. I'm not going to do it. It may be an hour. It may be every hour. It may be every other hour. But I'm going to tell it no today. Whenever it comes against me, I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm telling it no today. I'm not going to make it up for tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. I need you, Jesus, every day, every hour. Amen. Amen. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read the book of the law of God and kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. That's why church is so important. I'm out here by myself. No one else is coming, Sister Justina. We're by ourselves. I don't care. You got a family. I don't care if you got a spouse. I don't care. I don't care. I'm a pastor. I got a wife. I got kids and grandkids. But I'm in this thing alone. I got to make up my own mind every day that I'm not doing certain things, and it can't be because of my wife. It can't be because of my kids. It's got to be because of my relationship with him. And I got to read his word. I got to have a solemn assembly. I got to have a steadfast mind. And if I can put a couple of those days together on a Monday and a Tuesday with some resolve, I can make it to Wednesday and get some strength. And that'll help me get through Thursday and Friday with a made-up mind. And on a Saturday, I can have a little bit of enjoyment. And on Sunday, I come in and I plug back in. But you know what? I prayed on Monday, and I read my Bible on Monday, and I prayed on Tuesday, and I read my Bible on Tuesday. Hey, the Bible said daily he loadeth us with benefits. It's an everyday walk with God. It's an everyday resolution. I searched the scriptures. I read my Bible. I sought out those things. I called daily upon him. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't have to make it a year. Just make it a day. You don't have to make it a month. Just make it a day. You don't have to make it a week. Just make it a day. And you look back and say, look what the Lord had done. Amen. Amen. The daily altar. You got to have a daily altar. The devil's going to come every day. If the devil knows what your weakness is, he's going to tempt you with that every day. If you overcome that temptation, he will start finding another weakness. And he'll do it until you fall. But if you just pray every day, you look at any goal in life that's going to require months of discipline. You can't look at it the months. You can't look at the weeks. You got to look at the day. Well, I got more strength than that. You think you do. That's why he said daily he loadeth us with benefits. That's why he said daily I'll seek thee. Daily I'll search your scripture. Daily I'll walk up. I die daily. I die out to my flesh every day, because guess what? My flesh is still going to like the same things. You got to get to a place to where you say, you know what? I don't want those things anymore. I don't desire those things anymore. You got to make your flesh not want them anymore. And the only way you do that is kill them every day. Mortify that flesh every day. Die daily. Make a resolution today. It's not a New Year's resolution, Sister Tawny. I don't even know what's going to happen this year. I surely didn't think this year was going to turn out the way it did. In fact, if I'd have known how this year was going to turn out, if I would have known what was coming every day, I probably would have just stayed in bed. But because I didn't know. But when I got home at the end of a day and saw the goodness of God in that day, I thought, all right, if I wake up tomorrow, we'll do it again. That's all I can do. I'm not promised tomorrow. The old song says, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. What if you don't get tomorrow? I'll do it next week. I'll change. I'll really make up my mind. I'll really put my shoulder to it. I told these men on Saturday when we took them to lunch and passed out the sweatshirts and did all that, I said, look, we're going to take Christmas break. We're not going to be here till the Monday the 29th. And when we come back Monday the 29th, I know we got New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in there. But when all these holidays pass, we're going to put our shoulder to the wheel, our pedal to the metal, our nose to the grindstone, whatever the saying is, we're going to apply all of them, put pack down, shake them together, and run over. And we're going to try to get in this building for Easter. But you know what? We can't say, well, we got till April. No, we have Monday the 29th. That's what, if we wake up tomorrow, that's the day we got. And we have to do everything we can in that day. You know what I'm going to tell you? If you live for God that way, you'll live for God for 40 years. If you live for God that way, you'll live for God for 70 years if he tarries. Because I may not have 3 months, but if I wake up tomorrow, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Somehow, some way, I'm going to find it. I'm going to make strength in it. I'm going to do the day that's required. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. We need that scripture to happen right now. Some of you missed that scripture. Should I pull it out? Should I put it? Write it down. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse number 11. They gathered money in abundance. Church, you think, oh, pastor, you're always talking about money. Hey, it costs a lot of money to build a church. If it costs this much money to build a 4,800 square foot building, imagine when we build a 10,000 square foot building. If it costs this much to seat 160 to 200 people, imagine when we build a 400 or 500 seat auditorium. How do we get there? How do we get there? It's by people living for God day by day. We cannot keep backsliding. We cannot keep being defeated. We cannot keep throwing in the towel and giving up. And we surely can't be happy where we are right now. You know what keeps you going every day? Is somehow you grow. Somehow you get further. I'm watching young people who 10 years ago were just teenagers in this church, who didn't even have jobs, who now own homes, who now have jobs and raises and families. Not just one or two, not just the blessed people, but I'm talking about teenagers that are just, even if they're not married, they're advancing, they're growing, they're doing. You know what keeps getting them up in the morning? Advancement. It worked yesterday. I'm growing in the grace and the knowledge of God. I'm growing in the blessings of God. I'm seeing progress. You're never going to be it. My pastor said it the other day. Again, I've heard this so many times in my life. It takes a long time to get a gate. What happens when you finally get a gate? You lose your horses. But anyway, life is just not fair sometimes. It takes a long time to get. People want to get it now. They see where an elder is. They see where a pastor. They see where a seasoned saint is, and say, "I want all that right now." It takes a long time to get that. I want money and freedom, honey. You ain't gonna get either one of them. It takes a long time, and when you think you got it, you lose freedom. When you finally got the money, you ain't got the time. When you got the time, you ain't got the money. I mean, that's just life. But if you just keep putting one good day behind another one, if you just keep putting one positive day, hey, we all got bad. Anybody ever had a bad day? Can I see your hand if you've had a bad day? I think that's everybody. Nikita, if you ever had a bad day, you have an older brother. Of course you've had bad days. The goal is to not put too many bad days back to back. Well, I must be doing something wrong if I'm having a bad day. Go talk to Job about that. Job was a perfect man. He was a, if I just had more money, my life would be, I'd be happier. Not necessarily. Can I just throw this out? We already know this, but can I just remind us? More money makes you more of what you already are. If you're gripey and complaining, you're going to be more gripey and more complaining. If you're tight-fisted, you're going to be more tight-fisted. You've got to be happy with where you are today so that when you do get there, you're more happy. Well, money can't buy happiness. No, but it buys things that make you happy. And it can support people. It can support others. It can bless the church. It can bless somebody. Hey, let me tell you, the guys and I we've been going to breakfast on Saturday. It's kind of like a little job site meeting. Little thing special for these guys that have been working. And one Saturday, we've been going there for a few weeks, and one Saturday they came in and said, hey, breakfast is on us. The restaurant paid for our breakfast. Over $100 and some that it is in for breakfast. They paid for it, so it's on us. Well, how do you give a tip on a bill you didn't pay? Well, Sister Tani, I still had one of those $100 bills folded up in my wallet. And so I thought, well, that waitress didn't pay for the bill, but she still deserves a tip. So I pulled out that $100 bill, and we walked by her. I said, hey, thank you, and Merry Christmas. And she took it and said, oh, thank you. Well, she turned it over. She said, oh, and she started crying. I didn't have that money in my wallet just to make me happy, and there were things I could have bought with it. But I thought, if I can make her day, and I can make her remember us, the next time we come in with our Cornerstone Construction Team sweatshirts on, and she says, hey, what church you guys go to? You got to think, this is an everyday thing. This is not just when I'm at church. This is not just when I'm around the pastor. This is what I, every day, no matter who I'm with, no matter what, I made up my mind on a daily basis. This is what I'm doing. It's daily growth. It's daily progress. Where we are right now with this building is daily progress. We're not making leaps and bounds, but every day we're making progress. And sometimes folks get to come in every few weeks and see and go, wow. We're not wowed by it. Oh, my God. You know who's wowed by progress? People who aren't around it. You know who's not wowed by progress? The people who are making it. People will see you who aren't around you in God, and they'll say, wow. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? I've been working on this every day. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. You're seeing growth because you haven't been around. But you know what I've been doing every day? I've been working on the progress. I've been working. Oh, let's love the Lord together. Come on. He daily loadeth us with benefits. I'm going to tell you what the goal is on this. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. This thing is a sacrifice every day. There are no days off living for God. There are no days where we just say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to live for God today. I got to take up that cross and do things I don't want to do every day. And so here we go through the progress and the process of daily. There's temptations. There are falls. There are hurts. There's you know, I'm just being honest. I never heard the word trauma used in any other category except for a car accident when I was a kid. When I was a kid, if you heard the word trauma, it was a car accident. Something bad happened. They used to call it a trauma unit in the hospital. In fact, we had a a hospital in Fresno that had the greatest trauma unit in the Central Valley, Community Medical Center. Why? Because it was in the bad part of town. When you have to go through a metal detector and a bulletproof glass to get into the hospital emergency room, that is a trauma unit. You know what I had to do the other day when I went to go visit my dad? They said, sir, do you have a knife or a gun on you? I said, I have a pocket knife. They said, you got to take that back to your car. I said, we live in Idaho. They got a metal detector in Idaho now at the St. Luke's. We are not in the same state we used to be in. But now trauma is you didn't get the cereal that you wanted. Trauma is you didn't get the gift you wanted. Trauma is life didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. Honey, if that's trauma, I've been having trauma all my life. We've diagnosed ourselves to have excuses of not making sacrifices. Now we got church hurt because the pastor preaches the truth. Now we got church abuse because the pastor said we shouldn't live in sin anymore. Now we got church abuse because the pastor says you should show up for church. What a concept. What a concept that we should show up for church and be faithful to church and the pastor tell us that we should be in church. That's not trauma. And can I even tell you this? It's not even sacrifice. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. And if we don't understand that I'm going to have to get up and do things that my flesh does not want to do. Has anybody here ever gone to work when you didn't want to? Come on, be honest. That's an everyday thing. In fact, I didn't want to be here tonight. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Couldn't wait to get to church tonight. Even though I knew we were going to have a lot of people out and we weren't going to have music. I can't wait to get to church because guess what? This is all part of daily progress. How do we grow from here? If you don't like doing things you don't want to do, you'll never go anywhere in life. There's a saying amongst entrepreneurs and professionals, 9 to 5 will pay the bills, but 5 to 9 will put you ahead. The grind. Everybody talks about the grind. And embracing the hard and embracing the rough and embracing what nobody else wants to do. That's how you get ahead. Yeah. We've talked about this before. They say if you will play, I'll talk to this section right here. If you'll play an instrument for 15 minutes a day, in a year, you'll be better than 95% of the people. That's not true. Yes, because most people won't do it. Most people will not apply themselves. Now, I'm not bragging on Carson because I beat him up enough. But I can't tell you the hours. I can't tell you the hours that he played the piano. The hours. There were times when he was supposed to be doing school. Like we could not hear the piano playing in his room. You're doing school? Stop. But he said in his mind, I want to get good at this. I want to master this thing. And he's still working. I'm not saying he's a master. I'm not saying he's a Mozart or a Beethoven. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. He put hours into it when other people don't. People succeed in life by putting time and effort and energy every day. And when others stop, they're still going. Take up your cross daily. Do what nobody else will do. Pray and read your Bible if nobody else is. Worship. Come by the church and pray. Do whatever it takes. Witness. I don't want to do that. My flesh, I understand that. But take up that cross and watch you succeed and watch you grow. When others falter and fail, say, you know what? I chose today. I'm going to live for God. I chose today. I'm going to. Back to our text tonight. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house. You know what he was saying? Today, we chose to serve the Lord. Our house. And you know why there's blessings on homes and not blessings on other homes? Because they chose to serve the Lord. They chose this day. This could be our last day. There was an accident on the way to church today. There was airbags deployed. There was cars facing the wrong direction. You never know when someone's going to run a stoplight. I just saw a guy was target practicing in his backyard. I thought surely he was with a bow and arrow. Surely he was, you know, throwing a lawn dart, something. Oh no, he was shooting his gun in his backyard, and he killed some elderly lady a couple, I don't know, 100 yards or so down. A bullet will travel over a mile and still be deadly. He killed somebody walking down the road. You're just walking down the road. And I'm telling you, my wife was there. Remember we were at the lackey's house on New Year's Eve? We were at the church secretary's house on New Year's Eve in Fresno. We're around the table getting food, walking around the table. And all of a sudden, plaster comes out of the ceiling and a bullet, bam, right in the middle of the kitchen table. Somebody shot a gun up in the air from who knows where in Fresno. And it landed, I'm talking right in the table where the salad dressing was. Probably with a fruit salad. What's that stuff my dad said the family does? Ambrosia? Right in the middle of the ambrosia. Someone needed to shoot that stuff anyway. No. Could you imagine just a foot over? You think that wouldn't have went through someone's head? You think that wouldn't have went through their chest? A friend of mine was at a concert one time, and someone flicked a quarter from the balcony of the concert. It hit him in the chest and cracked a rib. You never know how life is going to unfold. I got to get up in the morning, and when I wake up and I realize I'm still here, it's neither hot nor cold. God, I choose today to live for you. I can't even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough evil for it. I'm worried about right here, right now. This day has salvation come to this house. Come on, I'm here to help you tonight, church. Don't think years down the road. Don't think decades down the road. Don't even think months down the road. Don't even think what next week. Just say, you know what? I'm going to live for God today. And if I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to live for God tomorrow. If whatever day I wake up, I'm going to choose this day to serve the Lord. Oh, let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's give the Lord glory in the house. Come on, I know bad things happened to you. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, as it is this day. Oh, get a resolution in your mind. On this 28th of December, I'm going to make up my mind every day. Every day that I wake up, I'm going to make up my mind to live for God. Every day that I wake up, but pastor, you don't understand. Bad things have happened to me. Guess what? Bad things and worse things have happened to others. Get this revelation in your mind that Joseph said to his brethren. You meant it for evil. You thought evil against me. But God meant it for good. You did what you did to me to hurt me, but God was using that for good. Why? Because this is what he said. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I'm going through what I'm going through because there will be a day that what I went through will save people. That what I overcame will save people. When, my God, I want to preach it right now. When you go through trials and tribulations and you look back and see your loved ones praying through at an altar, you say, that's why I went through what I went through. It was for this day. Don't give up now. You don't know who will be lost because you backslide. Don't quit now. You don't know who won't make it because you gave up. I'm going to tell you, there are people in the church today because someone didn't give up every day. Someone made up their mind to live for God every day. Jesus said this in Matthew and in Luke, give us this day our daily bread. The way Luke recorded it was, give us day by day our daily bread. Day by day. Give me this day, and if tomorrow comes, then give me tomorrow's. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish. Pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. For this cause, why didn't you quit? Could you imagine if I would have backslid because my parents were living for God? We wouldn't be here tonight. It'd be a completely different situation. In fact, how way leads to way and how things turned out before we got here, there may not even be a church tonight in Nampa. You don't know. He said, for this cause we faint not. For whatever we're going through right now, whatever blessings we see, whatever moments, Sister Megan's not in here, but Brother Caleb is. Brother Caleb, could you imagine if when we looked at all the finances 10 years ago and we said, well, you know, we accepted, you guys voted, we accepted, but you know, you wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that, but I've known pastors who went to a church, they were 6 months, saw how bad things were, and just bolted, literally hooked up their trailer and gone, out. They've had four and five pastors. That church has had four and five pastors since we've been here. And that church already had a paid-for building and 40 or 50 people. I'm thinking, how bad could it have been? Lord have mercy, I didn't know that was an option. I thought when God called you someplace, you stuck it out. Can I just tell you something? Without breaking my arm, patting myself on the back, y'all are blessed that I don't quit. Y'all are blessed that I was raised by a pastor who didn't believe in throwing in the towel every time it got hard. You better be glad that there's something inside of us that says, hey, I know it gets rough, but I'm not quitting. For this cause, I'm going to tell you why we're here. Because we're building a building and we're baptizing folks. I know how it looks right now, but I'm not worried about today. You just put a couple of these back to back and you look back in 10 years at what the Lord had done and you'll see why we didn't quit. You'll see why we don't give up. Because God's been too good to us. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish. Yet the inward man is renewed. Yes. New Year's resolution, day by day. Not week by week. You know, some people live for God Sunday to Sunday. They can't make it because they're only living for God Sunday to Sunday. They're only living for God on Easter and Christmas. They're only living for God when it fits their schedule. I'm living for God day by day. God, renew me day by day. God, renew me day. I'm dying on the outside, but the inside, it's being regenerated and renovated day by day. For our light afflictions. Which are but for a moment. Everybody say, just a moment. That. You ever done that to somebody? Just a moment. It may be 15 minutes, but it was just a moment. But when you get back to them, it was just a moment. He said, those afflictions you're going through, you're going to look back and say, that was just a moment in my life. Yeah. Think about the mess that David made. With Bathsheba and Uriah. Anybody know that story? What a mess. The Lord said of him, he was perfect, except for that matter with Bathsheba. just a blimp in the radar, a moment. How bad your life is sometimes, but when you look back, it was just a moment. He said, for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. Go to the next verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, don't look at tonight with 20 people out of church. Don't look at tonight. This is not indicative of our progress because our piano player happens to be sick tonight. This is not because this is 'tis the season and people are sick that, our church is falling apart. No, don't look at it that way today. This is just a moment. We're not looking at the things which are seen, but the things that we can't see. You know what we don't see? Everybody every day living for God. Showing up, being faith. You don't see that all the time, but till you come to church and they're worshiping God. Come on, it's something on the inside tonight. Make up your mind. Don't make a New Year's resolution. Make a new day resolution. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Come on, lift your hands all over the house tonight. Come on, let the inside man, let the renewed man, let the man be renewed every day, every day, every day. God, if I mess up today, give me another day. If I wake up tomorrow, it's a new day. It's a new anointing. It's new benefits. It's new every day. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. I want to tell somebody, every day won't be like this day. Every day won't be like today. Just keep waking up. Just keep doing what you know to do and watch the blessings of God. I promise you. Now, we don't have a piano player to play that nice soft music right now to create the mood. But I promise you, there were days where I thought, there is no way we're going to get through this. I still don't know how we're going to pay for the parking lot. But you know why I'm not worried about it? Because there's been too many days where I thought there's no way we're going to get through this. And yet here we are. In living for God for the last, I don't even know the math on it anymore, 44 years. I've seen too many days that I thought were impossible. You remember that scripture, Brother Myers? Where they longed for the day, they longed for the morning. They were on that boat and it was tossed to and fro and they longed for the day. They longed for the morning. Just get us through the night. I've had days like that. Jesus told me there would be days like this. And yet here we are. Yet here we are. So you look at right where you are right now and you think, how in the world are we ever going to get through this? You just keep stacking up good days back to back. And you'll look back. You'll say every day he loaded me with the benefits. Every day was a blessing. Every day was a good day. Hey, you know living for God? There are no bad days. There's bad moments. There's bad seasons. But every day above ground is a good day. Every day breathing his fresh air and his blessings and being able to worship him is a good day. And so I want everybody tonight to make a new day resolution. I'm not worried about the year. I don't even know what 2026 has for us. But if I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to resolve to live that day for Jesus. Amen? Let's love the Lord tonight. Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, Savior. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, my King. We glorify your blessed name, dear Savior. God, by your Spirit, God, by your Spirit, God, by your Spirit. Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If you want to greet somebody, go ahead. If you want to leave, go ahead. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Just before before we leave, we have an upcoming birthday for a very special First Lady. We would like to honor you tonight, so come and join me up front. I came across a poem, and I was reading it over, and it reminded me of you, so I wanted to read it to you tonight. She's a godly woman, she has such grace, always a warm greeting, a smile on her face. She always is encouraging, she knows her place. She is the pastor's wife. She has to always look just right, always on time, though the schedule's tight. From early morning till late at night, always the pastor's wife. She's such a lady, everyone's friend. She serves with love from deep within. All the rifts she tries to mend, oh, she's the pastor's wife. She carries your burdens, she prays for you. Sometimes she cries the whole night through. But you wouldn't know when she's feeling blue because she's the pastor's wife. At church, as she starts to walk up the aisle, so many needs to stop and talk for a while. Though she's tired, she has her own trials. She's patient. She's the pastor's wife. Her life, her time is not her own. There's always a need that go on and on. With a knock at the door or a ring at the phone, that's the life of the pastor's wife. Her husband she shares with a whole congregation. She humbly accepts his intense dedication. In loneliness, she kneels to seek consolation. God bless the pastor's wife. She will someday reach the end of this race as she meets her master face to face. Surely your God has a special place in heaven for our pastor's wife. I am incredibly lucky because I get to call you many titles, your mom, Nani, my friend, and First Lady. And every single one of those roles has had a huge impact on my life. As family, I get the behind-the-scenes, insider view of what it really means to be a pastor's wife. She makes it look effortless, but truthfully, it's not. It takes strength, patient grace, and a heart that's always ready to serve others, even when no one is watching. And she does all that with humility and love, and I've watched her shed tears and show up here with a smile on her face. She's the kind of person who shows up for her family and her church day after day. She listens, encourages, and prays very deeply. As mom and Nani, she's our safe place, someone that's full of wisdom that I look up to. I ask lots of questions on parenting, and she has great advice for me. As a friend, she's loyal and kind. And as First Lady, she leads by example and not by title. Today, we celebrate not just another year of her life, but the countless lives she's touched along the way, especially mine. I'm so grateful for her wisdom, her faith, and unwavering love. Happy birthday. We are so blessed to have you, and I'm beyond thankful to call you my First Lady.
Thank you. She made me cry. It's a lot to live up to. I was listening to her read that, and I thought, man, I feel like I fall very short. But God helps us day by day, and I'm thankful for all of you. You have been such a blessing to me, and you're an encouragement to me. And on days when you don't feel like getting up and doing it again, I see your faces that God has blessed me with. And it gives me that extra shot to just get up and do it again, even when in times do get tough. So thank you, thank you, thank you for the kind words, and thank you all for your love. I am supposed to open this? Okay. Very beautiful. Everybody that knows me well knows I love shoes and purses. It is definitely a weakness, and that is a beautiful purse. Thank you. Thank you very much. I love all of you.
Before we actually do leave tonight, Just a reminder that there's no church here Wednesday night. Unfortunately, the church that we were renting from has moved their service from Thursday to Wednesday, so we're not able to have service here next week. And we could have moved it to Tuesday or had church over in the other building, but I thought if we move it to Tuesday, that's just one less work night that we have, and we really need to make progress on that. So we will not have church here this Wednesday night. Our next service will be the 4th of January. Tawny's face. Some people were going, yes. Tawny was like, no. No, it'll be the 4th of January, and the Boggs will be with us that night to preach. And so let's come to that night. Hopefully everybody is feeling well, and we have great church. Let's have Holy Ghost Revival Church of our first service of 2026, should the Lord tarry. Amen? Amen. God, thank you for honoring my wife tonight. Thank you for honoring our first lady. She really does more than I do around here, and so you just don't see it all. I'm always with the microphone. But if it wasn't for her, this place would not be running the way it does now. So thank God for her. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.